Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome again, or good afternoon if you live in the Eastern time zone. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us now with his Paisley tie on this Tuesday.
It is a Paisley tie. I like this tie. It's got purple and everything. And may I say good evening to those in Moscow?
Oh, we have listeners in Moscow, do we?
We do.
We do have some international listeners.
Yeah, because of our app. They can listen on our app.
You know, Ray Pritchard, our colleague who's out this week, he tells a story about standing in line at the airport in Seoul, Korea, waiting to board a plane back to the U.S., and somebody behind him heard his voice and said, "Hey, are
Seoul,
you Ray
Korea.
Pritchard? I hear you on American Family Radio." Yeah, Seoul, Korea at the airport there. So I tell you what happened to me one time. I was in Kansas is not another country. But I was in Kansas in the middle of, like way out in the country, went into a Walmart. I had to get like a phone charger or something like that. Get up to the counter to pay for it, and the guy goes, I spoke to him. He goes,
"Yeah."
He looked up at me. He goes, "Are you?" I said, "What?" I'm sorry. "Are you Tim Wildman?" I said, "Yeah." "Why, are you following me or what?" No,
after which quietly slide the cigarettes
right.
off.
You work for the FBI? No, what I'm saying is he recognized my voice. And that was like, 700-800 miles from home, out in the middle of the sticks.
All right, that kind of thing happened to me one time. So I'll just tell you the story. We were in California, and we were shooting a video. And I had someone come up, was talking in line, and they said to me, "Are you?" And I said, "Yes, Ed Battagliano, I'm on American Family Radio." But he said, "No, you're Brad Pitt."
That happened all the time, I'm sure.
Bada boom.
No, usually they say, "You're that guy on that mafia
you're that
show,
guy.
Isn't it?"
Yeah. Okay, Steve,
hey.
What's leading your stack of news over there?
I'd like to spend some time in New York City, if we could.
When you get caught between the moon and New York City, you have a problem.
Oh, yeah. That,
is that a song?
Yes.
When you get caught between the moon and New York City. I wasn't asking you to sing it. I'm just asking if it's a song. Who sang it?
To remember that.
Besides you.
No, that was Christopher Cross.
There it is.
Oh, okay.
That's a theme from Arthur, the movie.
That's right. Arthur.
Or how about if the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie?
There you go.
That's a classic.
Well, I have something to show you. I was going to show you between before we got in the air, I have a video to show you of a guy in New York City who's very upset. He's carrying 5 pizza boxes. He is really upset that they're thinking of banning the wood stoves, and he called it the New York Pizza Party after the Boston Tea Party.
Oh.
And he takes and he throws a bunch of these pizza pieces over the wall into the mayor's compound or wherever he was.
So. He'll probably get arrested.
Allison and I were at an Italian restaurant in D.C.
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks ago. Went out to dinner at a place in Georgetown. It's really nice. Anyway, here came Dean Martin. That's Amare.
Yeah.
And I said, it guy worked there, and I said, "How many times a day do you hear this song?" He's like going, "I hate it."
Because it is probably on a loop.
Yeah, it's on a loop. It's like 10 times a day. If you're in an Italian restaurant, including the Olive Garden, you're going to hear it.
Yes, that's right.
It's Amare.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a great song, but it's like anything else, you can wear it out, right?
Oh, yeah. First five times, it's a good song.
All right, Steve, go ahead.
All right. So we just had this holiday that a lot of people celebrated called Juneteenth, which was – it's actually technically when Texas slaves in Texas found out that they were free, but it has become a national holiday because, under the Biden administration, we just don't have enough national holidays, apparently.
One out of 10 Americans knows what it's about.
Well, In New York City and in other places in the country, it ended up being a fairly violent evening. They had Juneteenth parties, and there was some, and as will happen in New York and Chicago and some of these big cities, there were some shootings. And Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, former police officer, got honest. And for once, I think I agree with everything he says in this particular clip. Let's hear cut eight.
Juneteenth was our celebration of emancipation and the end of slavery. That was one of the most deadliest days in our city. 10 shootings, I think 6 homicides. One 16-year-old boy shot in the head, close range. We have to be honest about this. And you know what's interesting? All those anti-police folks didn't raise their voice at all. If Black lives matter, Black lives matter when innocent people are shot on our streets. And I'm not going to continue to remain silent.
Well, good for him. Listen, two things can be true at the same time. And this seems to be what Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, is saying. You can celebrate the emancipation of Black people from slavery. You can celebrate that. You can have a federal holiday. And you can say that we need to work against the violence in the Black community. You can say Black lives matter, like all parentheses, I would say, like all lives matter. But, you know, we want justice and we want, you know, fair policing in New York City. And we should support the police because the vast majority of police officers are trying to do a good job. You could, both those things can be true at the same time. And what it seems like in the Democratic Party, they can't say both of them. They can't say, no. They can only say one side of that. Yeah. And Eric Adams is being quite honest, and I salute him for that.
Well, how about this for mixed messages? This is a picture I'm going to I don't know how to get this. This is off my Twitter feed. I'll see if I can find a way to post this to our Facebook page. But it is a bulletin that was pasted at a subway station in New York City by the Metropolitan Transit Authority. This is the New York City speaking, right? And what this says is the service information says all times, 365 days, 24 hours a day, respect, no bigotry, hatred, prejudice allowed at this site at any time. And it has a rainbow flag up there. This is, we're pro-gay, we're, you know, so at always respect. And then they end with this. Listen to this. Respect trans people or your pronouns will be was, were.
What?
Respect.
They're threatening to kill people?
Threatening to kill people that don't.
No bigotry, hatred, or prejudice allowed at this station at any time. Is this Manhattan? Where'd you say this was? Man, so this is posted by
New York City. I'm not sure if it's Manhattan.
But it's the MTA, so yeah. I'm not sure what that's.
It's an official. It stands for Metropolitan Transit
Authority. Okay, that's what I was looking for. And it says, reminder, respect trans people or your pronouns will be was or were. That's.
Now, do they mean transportation people, maybe?
that's a different kind of trans person.
Pretty sure not.
That's shocking.
I know.
That's a threat to kill people.
And this is okay because they're gay people that we're talking about, and we have to respect that, or else you're so scum of the earth that you deserve to be killed. As opposed to it kind of is jarring after you hear Eric Adams.
And that's
talk
an actual. That's not a Photoshop thing. That's an actual.
This is actual.
Wow.
By the way, related to the trans discussion, of course, this is. I don't know how many of you noticed this. This is Pride Month.
Yeah.
Pride Month for what?
LGBTQ.
RST.
RST.
Yeah.
It's Pride Month, but Disney, the company, they've been having woke movies for the last couple years, and they bombed, and they're hemorrhaging in the billions of dollars. I'm talking about the Disney Corporation.
Well, their big budget movies recently have lost $900 million We're talking about Lightyear. That was earlier, I think, in the year. The Little Mermaid also bombed. Some of their other movies have not done as well, including Guardians of the Galaxy. And like the New York Post is and the Daily Mail, both calling these woke, a series of woke flops at the box office.
What we mean by woke, folks, they put left-wing left-wing messages into the movies intentionally. With the Lightyear, it was a children's movie based on the Toy Story series, right?
Yeah.
And what was it they did in there?
They had a same-sex kiss in there, and at first they edited that scene out. And then, because of a little pressure from the LGBTQ community, they put it back in. And
in a children's movie.
In a children's movie. And
it bombed.
And it bombed. In fact, I think that was the movie where they weren't even able to air the movie in Muslim countries because they wouldn't show it.
Also, they cut Tim Allen out of that.
Yeah, that did not go over well.
That didn't go well for the voice of the character.
Tim Allen is known as a conservative.
Yes.
In Hollywood, and a lot of speculation that he didn't get that part that he's had forever as the voice of
Woody.
No. Not the voice of Woody.
Oh, is he Buzz Lightyear?
No, Buzz Lightyear.
He's Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear.
Tom Hanks is Woody.
Yeah. Yes, yes. He didn't get it because he was an outspoken conservative. In this case, he's probably glad he didn't get it because he probably wouldn't be in favor of putting a same-sex kiss in a children's animated movie.
Yeah, and there was another show here recently that they had. I'm trying to. I want to say Elementals.
Oh, Elemental.
Yeah, where they had an LGBTQ storyline.
Yeah.
So those two shows, you know.
Well, and then also Disney, you know, was. Just to remind us, remember that Florida legislature and Governor Ron DeSantis signed a law saying, this is a year and a half ago or so, whenever it was, saying that you can't teach sex, about sexual stuff to third grade and under.
Right.
At the time in the state of Florida. Would you not, you know.
Any kind, whether it's heterosexual,
yeah,
homosexual.
Yeah, no, any kind, third yeah. grade and under. That's when Disney, that's when the left said, no, that you're saying don't say gay. Remember that?
Yep.
And, no, as you say, Ed, no, they said can't teach sex of any kind, gay, straight, or otherwise.
Right.
Okay.
It's too young.
That turned into don't say gay. And then Disney said that, you know what, we're going to work to repeal that law that was signed by Governor DeSantis. And that got him in the whole fight. Anyway, that's all a part of the wokeness,
right,
of the Disney Corporation. And, you know, maybe there are other causes for their financial woes. I'm sure they are. Economy, COVID, mismanagement. But certainly the woke messaging in the movies has caused a few of these movies to underperform greatly.
Yeah.
You know, it was ironic what DeSantis said. A couple months back, he said, maybe it wasn't that long ago, he said, Disney should thank me. I kept them open under COVID. Yeah. If they'd have been in California, they'd have been closed.
Yeah, they were closed in California.
He said Disney needs to thank me because I opened up Florida.
Yeah.
And kept their theme park open.
Yeah, because people could go to it.
When it had it been in a liberal state, it would have been closed.
Right.
I thought that was a good point. Yep. Next story, Steve.
Well, just while we're on the topic of education and little kids and sex education, when it's been years, but why in the world did we cede such an important topic of moral import and of religious import to say that that the schools are responsible for teaching sexuality and what God's design for marriage is, for example, to our kids, and they get Planned Parenthood to do it?
That
they should be doing
in a lot
it
of
in any age. This is a parent's job, not the school's job.
Well, it used to be that you would teach about human sexuality in a science class because
biology.
You would have to teach about the reproductive system, just like the circulatory system. You know,
wasn't that in junior high?
Yeah, you know, at
10th grade,
junior high, that we, they might have had some, probably not sexual reproduction in elementary school, but junior high school and high school. And then you would teach them how sex worked. But it has been completely, that function has been completely absorbed by the sexual revolutionaries who are now teaching a radical view of human sexuality, giving kids what amounts to pornographic books. And so they, what they used to do, which would fit into a science class or a biology class, has now been taken over by the ideologues.
There you go. Hey, let's. I'd like to talk about something that's going on in Michigan. There is a proposed bill there. It's HB 4474, and it would amend the state's Ethnic Intimidation Act of 1988 in order to consider it a hate crime if a person is accused of causing severe mental anguish to another individual by means of perceived verbal intimidation or harassment. A felony, up to $10,000 and 5 years of prison or both, if you're found that you have intimidated, caused mental anguish by something you have said. And by the way, the absence of intent makes no difference under this law. If you didn't mean to cause that, if you did, you still can be guilty.
And this is in Michigan.
In Michigan.
Right? Now, and I asked you in our story meeting, because this is not the whole story, but this is of some importance. I did ask you if this was a felony. You said yes, it's a felony. Does this include simply saying things like, I believe there are only two genders, and a transgender individual saying, that causes me a great deal of anguish, I'm going to charge you with, under this intimidation law? And you quoted some lawyers who disagree with the breadth of this law for that very reason. That at any speech that contradicts the transgender ideology could result you in a felony charge.
That's right.
What is it that the attorney said?
They said that words are malleable. This is Attorney David Kalman of the Great Lakes Justice Center. They can be redefined by whoever is in power. Under the proposed statute, intimidation and harassment can mean whatever the victim or authorities want them to mean.
Now, so, this is why we, AFA, fought against, and others on our side, fought against hate crime laws to begin with, because we always said the intention is to make your thoughts and your words themselves illegal.
Yeah.
Okay, the hate crimes people always said, no, what we want to prevent are physical crimes, assault, murder, so on and so forth. We want to prevent assaults against these protected classes. Of course, we're not going to just criminalize words. But see, here we go. This is exactly what we warned against,
and this
15 years ago.
This is interesting, too. So I said it's up to $10,000 fine or 5 years in prison or both. But a text reads in part, an alternative sentence may include an order requiring the offender to complete a period of community service intended to enhance the offender's understanding of the impact of the offense upon the victim and the wider community. You can go to orientation camp where they can.
This is a brave new world come to life. It's hard to believe these people are so blind to their own dictatorial impulses. But that's exactly what the judge is going to say. Well, we'll suspend your prison term, your jail term, if you undergo re-education.
Right.
Go to our re-education camp. This is horrifying. And let me tell you something. If the shoe were on the other foot, they'd be squawking too. If we said, no, you've got to promote our religious beliefs, you can't say anything against our religious beliefs, or you're going to prison. And if you'd like to, instead of that,
you go to church.
People would be, and I'd be in support of their outrage.
Yeah. All right. I know you guys talked a little bit about this with Jenna, but we never got to play it. President Biden was in with the Indian Prime Minister, Modi, I think is his name, and he's having a state visit. And you
Modi?
Know, I think it's Modi, M-O-D-I, if I'm not mistaken. But
Modi.
I sometimes take Imodi if I have an upset stomach.
Oh,
but I'm not making fun.
No, not at
Maybe
all.
Maybe just a little bit. All right.
Here she comes now saying Modi, Modi. Wasn't that a song?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Anyway, you know how this happens. They let the press in at the beginning of an event, and they can ask questions. It's called a spray, the press spray. And they ask questions and everything, and then at some point they shove them out of the room, and they continue on to their meeting. Well, President Biden was a little late to let them into the room. And so when he did finally let them into the room, he said this, cut 10.
I was just thanking, anyway, I started off without you. And I sold a lot of state secrets and a lot of very important things that we shared. Now, all kidding aside, look, we're teaming up to design and develop new technology that's going to transform the lives of our people around the world.
So I sold a lot of state secrets and a lot of very important things.
He was kidding.
Yeah, but he says it was a joke, but it seems to me that you're not reading the room properly. If you think now is a good time to joke about selling state
secrets. I just wanted
to
make sure that people understood he was kidding.
Yes.
I'm not saying it was appropriate. I'm saying that he was,
but is there a whole lot of difference between him kidding about that and Trump saying he was kidding about classified documents?
Yeah, big difference. Like in subpoenas.
Well.
And
I mean, legally, yes, there has been a big difference. But, I mean, this is.
He was joking right there, Steve.
Yes, but it's a brazen joke. The fact you think you're so untouchable that you can joke about what you're being criminally accused of.
And I'm sure that's exactly his motivation. He probably thinks nobody's going to touch me, so I'm going to joke about it. It's like Al Capone joking about, yeah, I had so-and-so whacked. No, I'm just kidding. Never entered my mind.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Let's end with this.
Speaking of Italians.
Kamala Harris is not Italian. I want to talk about Kamala Harris, though. According to a new poll, her approval rating is at 32%. It's an all-time low for vice presidents. To compare,
nowhere to go but up.
Mike Pence was at -4.
Look on the sunny side of life.
Joe Biden only got a +1. Dick Cheney leads all contenders of recent ilk at 23, plus 23 points.
And where is she?
She's at -17 net rating.
Okay. What I was saying here, talking about Italians, I wanted you to play the two guys in New York City who are upset about the new environmental regulations.
I didn't know.
The pizza guys.
Oh,
we didn't have that video?
The one that I was going to show you?
I thought we were going to play the audio, Steve.
No,
this
because
is a big disappointment.
There was some language that we don't allow on our air.
She needs to find some way to get indicted and see her numbers soar.
Yeah, right. Probably would happen.
Yeah.
Folks, what I was talking about is that the new environmental regulations, I think in New York City, are going to crush the wood-fired stone pizza ovens in New York City. And I just thought, listen, folks, that's a line we just cannot cross.
There you go.
You just can't. Yeah. And I thought we had some of the guys, the Italian guys, complaining about it.
Bless her heart, Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Her numbers aren't going to move.
No.
She's over her head and ill-equipped for the job.
Yep.
And as I've said before, I think the Democrats will just write her a big fat check for like 10 or 20 million and say, go enjoy the rest of your life.
Go teach in a university, write books.
Yeah, whatever you want to do. I don't think she wants to be president. She doesn't act like it to me. She likes to sightsee and tour and taste.
And she could do that for the rest of her life, basically.
Yeah. So Biden gets out, they pay her off, and their golden boy from the Golden State is the Democrat nominee. Let's see if that doesn't happen. We'll be back tomorrow. Stay with us.